Let there be sound. Ah, good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Christ Church Uniting. I am Reverend Brittany Alexander, interim minister here at CCU. I am delighted that you have tuned in to worship with us today. As we begin, I light a candle for you and for me, a symbol of the light and love in you and in me, which unites us and brings us together, even though we are apart. I bring to you today a prayer from Jan Richardson. Let us pray. If you would enter into the wilderness, do not begin without a blessing. Do not leave without hearing who you are, beloved, named by the one who has traveled this path before you. Do not go without letting it echo in your ears. And if you find it is hard to let it into your heart, do not despair. That is what this journey is for. I cannot promise this blessing will free you from danger, from fear, from hunger or thirst, from scorching of sun or the fall of the night. But I can tell you that on this path there will be help. I can tell you that on this way there will be rest. I can tell you that you will know the strange graces that come to our aid only on a road such as this, that fly to meet us, bearing comfort and strength, that come alongside us for no other cause than to lean themselves toward our ear and with their curious, insistent whisper our name, beloved, beloved, beloved. Amen. And now let us join our hearts and voices in the opening hymn.
Hi friends, I'm thinking about hats today. I've got my favorite one on. I've had this hat for, 20 years, and I like to paddle in it, run in it. It's just super comfy. When I get a little fancy though, I like to put on this hat. And maybe you've got a favorite hat. You could send us a picture. Anyone out there can do this. Send a picture of you wearing your favorite hat. Send it to your church family just for fun. So the reason I'm thinking about hats is I was just thinking about, have you ever heard anyone say, wow, that person wears a lot of hats? I think what they mean is that they have a lot of different responsibilities. They take on different roles. and they help in different ways. So the church has lots of opportunities for people to wear different hats. And by that, I mean someone might be wearing the hat of mowing the lawn. Another one might be wearing the hat of singing or teaching or preaching or making sure people get paid on time for the services they provide our church. There's lots of different ways that people can get involved and help and have a different hat, if you will, and they're all important. So this week, I want us to especially think about the ways that people come together, take on different responsibilities, and help out in various ways to keep our church family alive and well and connected during these times when it's sometimes hard to do that. Please join me in prayer. Dear God, thank you for all the hats that we wear in our family, in our church family. Help us know that each one is an important role and that you are there to help us serve in lots of different and important ways. Amen, and have a great week.
Our scripture reading today is from Luke 4, 1 through 12. Jesus is tempted in the wilderness. Listen to these words of scripture and in them the Spirit's word to you. Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days. And when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
Good morning again. Let us continue our worship through the word. I've gone a bit rogue today. I did not choose the assigned text from the lectionary. We're not meant to look at Jesus' wilderness experience until Lent. But I could not let us get any more distance between Jesus' baptism and Jesus' wilderness experience. These events happen back to back. Jesus is baptized, and then immediately after, Jesus ventures into the wilderness for 40 days. The writers wrote these stories in a specific way for a purpose, and I think when we chop them up, we can sometimes lose some continuity. We can lose some important truths. So first, Jesus is baptized. At his baptism, he is called beloved. His worth, his identity, his being is affirmed. Maybe he feels a clear sense of who he is going to be in the world, what he is going to do, what his ministry will look like. Maybe he's feeling pretty pumped about the newness of what is happening, excited even, passionate, ready to get to work. And then he goes into the wilderness where basically all of that is tested. Jesus goes from spiritual mountaintop to spiritual wilderness, from known to unknown, from comfort to discomfort, from the aha moment, and now how to embody that into a living, breathing process. Jesus is in the desert for 40 days. 40 days with minimal sustenance, minimal protection, minimal everything. And while he is in the wilderness, along comes the devil. Now, before we start imagining the devil as a red humanoid with horns and wings and a pitchfork, just do me a favor and reel that in a little bit. This kind of imagery is not present in the text. We don't have really any imagery for the devil in this text except for a word. The word that Luke uses is diabolos in the Greek. It means someone who is prone to slander, prone to false accusation. Mark and Matthew also tell a version of this story. Matthew also uses the word diabolos. Mark, on the other hand, uses the word satanas, or satan, meaning opponent or adversary. So while Jesus is in the wilderness, Jesus encounters opposition. Luke gives us a clue with the word diabolos, that Jesus will specifically encounter challenges to what Jesus knows to be true about who he is, and challenges to the entire ethos of his ministry. The first challenge: you are hungry. Use your power to whip up some bread from this stone. Use your power to take care of yourself. Get what you want when you want it. The second challenge: look at all these kingdoms. They could be yours. Just abandon everything that you stand for and you could rule them all. Use your power to rule the world, control it, bend it to your will. The third challenge: throw yourself off the top of this temple and be unharmed. Use your power to defeat even death. Don't be bound to the consequences of your choices. Each challenge offers Jesus a negative use of power, a power over, a kind of power that focuses on the self, on gain, on manipulating the current reality for personal gain or attention. Each of these challenges is a false reality. It is a false reality because it is in contrast to the shaping force that was Jesus's baptismal experience. The water enveloped his being, became a moment that he knew deep connection and interconnection of all things. Jesus is beloved. Beloved is the state of creation. Power over has no place in the world of beloved. Jesus refuses each false reality. Jesus chooses power with, one in which beloved comes first, a ministry of relationship, solidarity, mutuality, empowerment. What we get from Jesus's adversarial wilderness encounter is a clarification, a distillation, an intensification of who Jesus is and what he is about. And the adversarial relationship in the wilderness, the adversarial wilderness, if you will, is just as important as the baptism. You have got to have friction if you're going to start a fire. You have got to break down muscle to build muscle. You've got to grind an edge if you're going to sharpen a knife. Something about the deep inner wrestling with the self gives birth to deep wisdom, gets us all the way down to the foundation of it all, the what in the world are we doing here point of it all, that place where we must abandon everything that does not sustain, that does not heal. What sustains in the wilderness is the imprint of beloved. Interconnection, worth that exists and holds us and bears us, positively challenges us, and is the air we breathe. Timothy Halloran uses this imagery. Those who embark on the spiritual process are like medicinal herbs, crushed and ground between mortar and pestle. The wilderness is crushing, but it also generates a strange and curious alchemy, which leaves one forever changed. The herbs crushed become a healing mixture of oil, bits of green, and earthy aroma, a poultice for the human soul, which can then be layered and smeared everywhere that does not know beloved. This is the way of the wilderness. Beloved community at CCU, in many ways we are in the wilderness of the unknown, of transition. May we move onward with the imprint of our interconnection, of our knowledge of beloved. Whatever else may come, we will come away bearing a healing poultice for the world. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we recognize that there are ways that we have failed to co-conspire with our siblings in order to work for the good of others and the good of self. For this we ask forgiveness, that we might breathe out our guilt, dust ourselves off, and try again. May we continue to awaken to the ways that we can better love ourselves, love others, and love the world. We remember and pray for all of those who are suffering, those who are houseless, those who are ill. We pray especially for Jeff Scruggs and his family. Jeff recently had a stroke and is struggling with the effects of that. We ask for comfort. We ask for an extra measure of your love and grace be upon him. And now, as we pray, as we have been taught with the confidence of the children of God held in love and grace, I invite you to use a name for God that feels right to you. This can be Father, Mother, Creator, Divine, or perhaps there is another name of your choosing that feels best. I invite you to use it now as we pray. Our Creator, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. As we come to this table where we are welcomed and called by name, by our true name, Beloved, we remember that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, broken for you." And in the same way, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he poured it out and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you." And so often, as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim my love in the world. Beloveds, the table is set. Take and eat. Amen. At this time, I would invite you to prayerfully consider how you might contribute to the work and ministry at CCU. This may be gifts of service, gifts of time, gifts of energy. This may be monetary gifts. A link is available for you to donate online, and we invite you to do so. Whatever way you choose to contribute helps us continue this ministry here at CCU and the work that we do in the world. So thank you very much. And now, please join us as we sing the doxology. As our worship comes to a close today, we do have a few announcements. Firstly, I would invite you to please share your prayer concerns and ministry needs with us at prayers@ccukailua.org. We want to be in prayer for you and with you and support you in whatever way that we can, so please let us know how we can support you. Additionally, we would like to thank Paul Herring for our beautiful flower arrangement this morning. Please consider clicking the link to sign up to provide some flowers. Be like Paul. We are indeed blessed by the gift of nature in our presence. So thank you in advance for these flowers that will bless us. Another item is that we have been virtual again today. We will be worshiping virtual next week, and we will be in touch very soon about services after that. We know that virtual worship is not ideal. We would very much like to be together in person. There is no way through difficult times without feeling some discomfort as we all do our best to navigate the situation that is before us. So your church leadership and I thank you very, very much for your understanding and your patience. May we all extend grace to one another as we cope with these trying times. And final thing, Vespers is taking a respite this month, but will resume in February, Friday 11th at 7 p.m. And I believe those are announcements for today. And now let us join our hearts and voices in our closing hymn. And now, as you continue with the rest of your day, as you embark on the week ahead, may the love and light of Christ dwell in you richly. May you know that you are beloved. May you feel the warmth of connection in knowing that as one body in Christ, we are united and do not go alone. Go in the grace and peace of Christ. Amen.